And I know the Ice Cream Social's coming up, and I spoke to the speaker this afternoon. I said, don't make it, you know, too long. Amen? I know the speaker. Anyway, that's going to be a fun time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll read our scripture. Father, thank you so much for the day. We thank you for Sunday school, Sunday morning. And Father, as we continue on a family, we pray that you'd help in this service as we deal with the men. And Father, my heart is I want to encourage them. I want to help them. I want to remind them. I want to bless them. I pray that you help me do that. And I also pray that you bless the church, the young men. And we pray also for the women, that they would know what type of man they would look for in getting married. And I pray, Father, your blessing upon us. We need you. We thank you for your faithfulness. And thank you for the good attendance this afternoon. We pray you bless our lives. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So let's read in Ephesians chapter 5. We'll start in verse 23 down to verse 33. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So we have to remember that Christ is the head. And Paul's comparing the husband to Christ. This is very important that we understand this. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkled or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of the flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. Here's the key. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Oh, there's so much in here. So let's have a seat. Thank you. And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible says, husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And a lot of men find fault with their wives and it turns into bitterness, which is wrong. God says you don't do that. And then 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, likewise, ye husband dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. As a weaker vessel, and as heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So God, again, instructs us about the husband-wife relationship. And, you know, you cannot have issues with the other and live that way and have your prayers answered. It's not going to work. You say, how do you know? Because I live that way. I mean, there's times I was upset with Liz and her marriage when we were younger, and she was upset with me. Far more her fault than mine. But anyway, the thing is this, is you're not going to have your prayers answered. So we have to have our prayers answered. We live for that. And so it's so important that you dwell together with the grace of life. So I'm addressing the God-designated authority for the home, the men, the husband, the fathers. We're being addressed in this message. I want to define the role and responsibility of the man in the house. Now, text reveals in verse 18 that every man ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And this is what God commands. Verse 18, the second part, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, text reveals in verse 18 the importance of being controlled, dominated. Just like alcohol would do it, God says, I'd rather have you be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we cannot be the Christian man, a Christian husband, the Christian father, and that we need to be what God wants us to be. It can't be that without being filled by God's Spirit. So, again, we speak about church membership, God speaks to us about the filling. Everyone needs to be filled. It's just not a selective few. The importance of God's Spirit in our lives. We're not saved without the Holy Spirit. Notice Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, please. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. And the Bible says in verse 9 of chapter 8, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, it shall be the Spirit of God dwelling you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So, again, the Bible teaches that if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to God. That's a sobering verse, beloved. Sobering. But if we're in the Spirit and not in the flesh, you know, that's a wonderful place to be. And God commands all of the church members to be filled with the Spirit. We're not true converts of Christ without the leadership of the Spirit in our lives. Notice chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then notice verse 26, where God says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray, for we ought as we ought, but the Spirit itself making the intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So there's times we don't know what to pray. But God's Spirit will intercede for the child of God and bring the request before God the Father. He knows what we need to pray. Amen? So how important is that we are Spirit-filled Christians to know, understand how to be a Christian man, a Christian husband, and a Christian father. And we cannot live without the Holy Spirit guidance and direction in our lives. Look what the Bible says in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So once we're saved, we're no longer condemned. In John chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says we're condemned already. Why? Because we're not saved. But once we're born again by the Spirit of God, there's no condemnation. And so God goes on and says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So a person who is saved is going to walk after the Spirit. Notice verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So they're God's divine, the flesh and the Spirit. He said in verse 6, really carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Therefore, the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So a person who's lost is not on God's side. The Bible says he's at enmity or she's at enmity with God. And it's so important that we understand that you may live right as far as, you know, how you dress, you separate from certain things, but you're not a Christian. And it's so important that you're born again, that you know the Lord, that you're a child of God. For one reason, you never know your end's going to come. You don't know when you're going to die. I think people traveling back to the city, which come out here, and I am so thank you for coming out here on a regular basis. People travel great distances, but you can live around the block and on the way home get in an accident and die. You don't know. So it's so important that you're saved, that you know the Lord. And then the Bible says this is the difference between a good home and a Christian home. And a Christian home is one that knows the Lord. A Christian man is one who knows the Lord. A Christian home is one which all members are striving to be godly, graceful, accepting, occupying activities, seek to fulfill the role which God has designed each and every person to be. So you've got to ask the question, are you filled with God's Spirit? Do you walk in the Spirit? Do you know what it is to be controlled by the Spirit? And notice chapter 5 of Ephesians. Let's go back there. And verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands, everything. Now, the husband is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. His role as a husband is to lead. Now, let me just say this. You say, preacher, I was married to a man and, you know, he was difficult and so on. All right, I get it. I understand that. And men can, just mess up a one car parade. They really can. They have real problems. They have insecurities. They have issues. On and on and on. But let me say, women do the same thing. Why? You both have the same sin nature. Now, I'm not saying you were that way, but the thing is this. It's so important for a man to have the Spirit of God to lead him and to help him and to make right decisions. You know, you want to be the leader? Well, then act like a leader. You know, be a leader. I think it's very important. And you say, well, preacher, I don't know. I tried. Listen, I have preached on the family like no one's business. I preached on leadership, how to. I preached privately to men in Sunday school when the women went into the fellowship hall. I've done it. And so you say, I don't know how to do it. I didn't listen. All right, well, come see me. I'll talk to you about it. But the issue is this, though. I've told you how to. But the thing, you've got to implement in your life. And you can't say, well, my wife, hey, you got to lead, man. You got to man up and lead. And I'm not talking about a caveman theology. And there's no cavemen. But anyway, you get the point. Dragging wife around by the hair. But the other thing is this, is, you know, you got to lead, lovingly lead and say, look, this is what the Bible says. I know you have an issue with this right now. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask you to pray that you would, you know, submit yourself to the Word of God. That's what a man does. So I couldn't do that. Well, then live the way you're living, babe. you're the one hurting right now. But I think every man should lead that way. And again, lovingly lead. You know, dwell with them according to knowledge. Be what God wants you to be. That your prayers be not hindered. Amen. But the Bible says you got to obey the husband in everything. Now, if it's not sinful, you're held accountable before God. So God goes on. Our Lord loves His church. He's very devoted, self-sacrificing type of love. And that's what God is to His church. And the husband will be to his wife. He seeks to sanctify his bride. Verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the wash of water by the word. Now the man is an imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ. A spiritual influence upon his wife. And I'll tell you, I say this all sincerity. My wife, over the years we've been married, she's really grown in the Lord, and so have I. I mean, I'm not, you know, I didn't arrive with the whole package. You know, I had to learn. And we try to work these things out in our lives. But my wife has grown, and she should grow. If I'm the leader, she should grow. And where's she grown? My wife tells you, she said, my greatest growth has been in your ministry, which is good. Amen? And so I'm not saying you have to have your own ministry. I'm saying, but you ought to be a leader. You ought to set the example. You ought to be Christ-like, godly, a holy man. And then we find where the Bible says the husband is a great influence over his wife. The husband is a spiritual leader in his home. He's responsible for the spiritual climate in his family. So what should the climate be? Should be a holiness unto God. Should be, you know, setting a standard. Should be evangelistic. Should be, you know, all these things that we desire. I know God wants from me. We need to be the same way. And our wives, our children will follow. So it's essential that we are setting a standard. It's not up to your wife. I'm not belittling her at all, but she's going to look to the husband. And you need to be a man of God. You need to be a godly man. Amen? So the husband is a spiritual leader. He's responsible for his family. His goal should be, leading his family to a closer, deeper relationship with the Lord. And so as your children are growing, and I don't say this, just little children. I'm talking about their lives. You've got to be concerned about them. You've got to be looking to guide them and direct them. And you don't have to beat them over the head with the Bible, but you want to live that way in a sense of living for Christ, loving God, serving the Lord. And so because of that, you'll reach your children. You'll be able to lead your children to Christ. And his goal, again, is lead his family to know the Lord. He says, strive to know the Lord. Let every man know the word. The Bible said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You're not to be a pauper when it comes down to the word of God. And you need to know how to pray. Look, if you can ask your wife to pray, and that's good. You want to, you know, join together, but you've got to set the example. You've got to know God's will for your life. Don't rest on your wife. You've got to do that. It's your job. You know, I've had a wonderful helpmeet. Liz is a spiritual woman. She's stood by my side and all these years. And I'm so thankful for that. But I remember when I was praying back before I became pastor of First Baptist Church, I had known it was God's will to be the pastor of Vital Baptist Church in Port Jeff Station. That's where we started. And I was given the opportunity and offered to, instead of being Port Jeff Station, to pass down at First Baptist. I'm telling you right now, I fear God. It was so near and dear to me. I was afraid of getting out of God's will. And I can tell you this is a fact. I spent nights praying, seeking the Lord, asking God for his leadership. Why? I didn't want to get out of God's will. I didn't want to leave my family out of God's will. It looked good, but just because something looks good, you don't know if it's the will of God. And so I, for weeks, months, maybe a couple of months, I sought the Lord. And God answered our prayer. We combined the churches, which was a good thing. We took the name First Baptist. We took our doctrine, Long Island Baptist, which we hold near and dear. So what I'm saying is that you don't want to get out of God's will. It's not something you want to be in God's will. So how do you know God? Well, you got to pray about it. Make sure it lines up with the Bible. So important. I remember a man had told me, he said, what you want to do is you want to get to know the people of First Baptist and, you know, go around and kind of candidate. And I said, I'm not doing that. If God didn't put me in that position, I'm not going to make it a popularity contest. I'm going to have the Lord put me in that position. And God answered. Praise the Lord. So we need to know God's will. And, you know, think about a man that what he needs to do, he needs to be a good church member. He needs to be consistent. He needs to have a good testimony. He needs to be a witness for Christ. He needs to strive to work for the Lord, to know God's will, to be a spiritual leader and a spiritual lover. And notice Ephesians 5, verse 25, the Bible says, husband, love your wives, and Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And then notice, if you would, verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So think about what God says here. You need to love your wife as you love yourself, or you treat yourself. Now, I can tell you, I know I've met men who were so selfish. They bought themselves, you know, whatever they want to, and they gave their family hardly anything. I mean, that's evil. That's so ungodly, so unchristlike. So think about what the Bible says in verse 29. Sought men, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. So the Bible says he nourishes it. So he cares, he feeds, he protects, he provides. He wants to meet the need in this relationship with his wife and children. And a good father is going to do that. He's not going to maybe overindulge, but he should meet the needs. And the Bible uses the word cherith. It means keep warm, as a bird covers a young with her feathers. It's tender love, tender care. And that's where your relationship with your wife and children ought to be. And again, you say, well, I'm not like that. Well, then become like that. This is what God's word says. Amen? And the love, a love a man should have for his wife is a peculiar love. And Jesus loves all, but God also says in his word that he loves his church. And the church is a local, visible assembly. It's not some universal, invisible church. It's a local assembly. And so because of that, you know, we're to love our wives. We're to care for our wives. Now, we should love all people. The Bible says, love your neighbors, you love yourself, love your enemies. And that's an important verse. But think about what God says. He not only loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son, but he loves the church. He gave his life. So that's a peculiar love. And it's not, falls short of the standards of the Lord has set. So again, you've got to have a peculiar love for your family. It's a special love. I love all the people that come to our church, families, single people. I love them all. But there's a peculiar love I have for my wife and my family. And then there's exclusive love. Christ's love is exclusive for his church and only his church. Not just for any church. It must have its roots back to Jerusalem where he started his church. And the Bible says, so a man must be exclusive with his love for his bride. And his love is for no other. He keeps his heart, his eyes, his desires, his hands for his wife and children and no other. So it's a special love. And then it's also an infinite love. Our union with Christ through his body, the church, is more intimate than any other part of the whole creation. So it is with a wife, to her and her own husband. And of all the women in the world, she should be intimate love they should have one for another. It's not a love for everyone in that way. God says the love to wife is a peculiar love. It's exclusive love. It's an intimate love. But it's also a delightful love. The New Testament church is the object of Christ's love. He delights in his bride so much the husband delights for his wife. He should be in love with his wife and her person, her talents, her ability, her work, her looks, her obedience. Now, I want to tell you something. I say this in all sincerity. You know, if you make an investment in your wife and your children, it's going to come back. It's going to come back. And I'll tell you this. I say this sincere can be. I think it's a very rare day. I mean, I don't know if there is one that I don't compliment my wife. You say, well, what do you say to a preacher? I tell you, you look great. You look beautiful. And Liz said, oh, come on, you're very kind. She said, oh, you're very, maybe you can't see very well. All these different things that women say. Look, are there more beautiful women than my wife? Sure there are. He said, oh, you're in trouble now. That's a fact. Are there better looking men than me? There's a gazillion of them. But I'm so thankful for my wife. You know, for 45 years, I'm still in love with her. I'm still, my heart beats for her. You know, she's very important to me. She's my friend. She's my counsel. She's, you know, I bounce things off of her. I mean, it's a wonderful relationship. And they're walking out even as we speak. Unbelievable. Another offended one. So, you know, it's so important, beloved, that we understand, your wife and dwell in her according to knowledge. Now, notice if you would, verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall join unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now, the Bible says that in many places. It's said in Genesis, also said in the book of Matthew and other places. The idea of you need to, leave and cleave. And so this speaks about a separated love. And again, they leave and they cleave. This is primary, the earthly relationship. This is not only for the man, but also for the woman. You know, I didn't marry my Liz and her mother. And she didn't marry me and my mother. We became our own unit, family unit. You said it was just Liz and I? Yeah, that's all it was. Then we had kids. And that was, we were just as much a family before the kids as we were after the kids. And the man does not marry, again, his wife and mother, and she didn't marry her husband and his mother. His love is primarily for her, and her love is primarily for him. So it's separated love. It's also sacrificial love. Notice verse 25. The Bible says, husband, love your wives, you know, Christ also loved the church. And notice there's a comma, and it goes on and says, and gave himself for it. So we see that anything less than sacrifice is unacceptable. And a man's got to sacrifice for his family. In the eyes of the Lord, it's very pleasing to his sight when a man sacrificed for his family. And I'll say this, ladies, it's so important that you appreciate his sacrifice. You know, I think of the different men in our church. Some men travel in New York City. I mean, that's like a part-time job. The traveling. And, they can come home and all they hear is, you know what Junior did? Complain, complain, complain. And then they say, where's my dinner? Well, I thought you were going to make it. So it's important that you appreciate his sacrifice. You appreciate what he does. You say, well, how do I show it to him? Like verbally? I communicate with him? I think that's very important. So, how could a husband sacrifice? Well, he does it financially. He considers his wife and her wants and to know her and wants his love not only for his wife but also for himself. He wants her to love him. And again, men have got to teach their wives that. And not that they need to really learn, but it's really a natural response. If you treat her right, she'll love you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him. So the Bible says about knowing Christ. Well, we want our wives to know us and live in a certain way that she would appreciate, respect, and reverence you. How does one build a sound relationship? Got to spend time. Well, I don't have time. Make time. You got to make time. And then take interest in learning about her. You know what that is, gentlemen? Selflessness. You got to put yourself aside. It's a bride. You want to find interest in her. Again, treatment. Kind and courteous, not crude. You think a wife gets really pumped up when you start acting vulgar? Oh, I like that, honey. Oh, be more vulgar. I don't think so. If she's a lady, she's not into it. So make sure you treat her like a lady. And that comes from a dirty heart anyway. Don't take her for granted. Maintain a gracious, kind, and thoughtful spirit. You want to remember certain things about your wife, her anniversary. That'd be a good thing to remember. Her birthday. Special days. Let me tell you a quick story. We're about done. My wife, she has such a good memory. And she remembered, I don't know when the date is, but the first time we went on a date, when was that? November 10th? Okay. So she asked me, said, you know what today is? I'm thinking November 10th, it's not Thanksgiving. That's in November. It's not her birthday. I don't know. It's the first time we went on a date. Oh. Well, I've learned some things since then. And a wife has a, you know, that's the way she thinks. A wife thinks quite differently than a man. That's good. It's good for men to learn that, and also good to women to understand a man. So, you want to, you know, present good behavior before. You want to present good gifts. But make sure you have good behavior. Be mindful of her. Number 8, seek to help her personally. Again, we want to build her up. You know, complete her. Strengthen her with things that she's lacking. And I may say this, don't tell her what she's lacking. Otherwise, you're going to be lacking, sleeping on a couch. And then physically, you want to help her, provide for her. You want to provide for her personally and also for the house. So you say, preacher, I can't afford these things and so on. Well, remember what the Bible says. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6, number 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto him. So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll be done in just a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 5, and notice verse 27. And the Bible says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish. So we see here, there's separated love, there's sacrificial love, there's sanctifying love. And sanctifying, as you know, is a set apart for a special purpose, a special place, a place of honor, of love, of respect. I mean, the Bible teaches that in 1 Peter, and with words and with thoughts and actions and treatments. You know, I'll say this, I don't have all the answers, but, you know, it's nice when you want to leave a little note for your wife. You know, looking forward to seeing you tonight. You know, writing, looking forward to dinner. You know, just a little communication. Maybe give her a call. You know, I can't call anyone. Okay, I get it. But anyway, the thought is then leave her a little note. You know, communicate with her. And I've heard all sorts of notes that are left. And I think it's great. You want to be mindful of her. Don't let the doldrums enter your home. It's a place of honor, love, respect. The way Christ loves the church. And so how does he love? He loves it with a steadfast love. It stays. It's motives. It's growth. It's steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So you can add that to the work of the home. So you're constantly progressing as a man. You're becoming more godly. You're becoming Christ-like. You're being more thoughtful. You're meeting the needs of not only your wife, your children, and it grows, and it's wonderful. Notice verse 25, husband, love your wife, and Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It also gives of itself, and then it seeks unity, oneness, togetherness. You know, I can tell you, and I will close in just a moment. You know, our relationship has changed in one sense. Most of the kids are gone, and and our families are all adults, which we'd be thankful for, and so on. But, you know, there's times that I get together with my wife throughout the week, and she'll come in my study, and we'll just sit and talk, maybe talk about church, talk about what we got to take care of, what we plan on, and all these different things. I love those, during the week, different chats we have, and we talk to one another and communicate with one another. And that's what it's all about. Let me say this, and I'll close. You know, I've heard this many, many times over the years. People say, and it could be wealthy, could be a lot of money, could have, and they say, you know, if I had it all to do over again, I would invest in relationships, my wife, my children. I know a lot of people have met people just like that. If I had it all to do over again, I'd invest in relationships. See, when you get older, you know, that's what's so important. It's not the things. I mean, some people are like that, the things, but most people are not. They're interested in relationships. And so the Bible commands us for the men to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So it's so important, gentlemen, that we don't mess up our homes, but rather we're a blessing to our family, to our wives, and to our children. Let's stand. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you so much for each person here. And Father, I don't know what you spoke to each person about, but I trust that they were encouraged, that you would have your will in their lives, and help us, Father, to do your will. I pray your blessing upon each family, each person. And Father, work out these situations for your namesake and your glory. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.